Sticking with the animal theme this week, how many honey badgers you taking on?
Hey, yo, welcome back to the High Kicks Podcast. How are we doing? We do not have a chat this week. Schedules just didn't line up. Carl, four?
Four honey badgers.
Maybe three? So, like, look, I don't know how big they are. I know that you have the info that you just looked it up. They're not very big. But all I can think about right now is the honey badger video that's narrated by Randall on YouTube. And, like, those things are just vicious.
Do you want to know what it says about honey badgers?
Like, don't they also have, like, a venomous bite?
No, they're, like, prone to...
They're immune to venom.
Yeah. So it's crazy because honey badgers overall can just take on like cobras and a bunch of different stuff. They're like a foot in size, 35 pounds. So I honestly think.
But they're fast.
If you could take on more than one of these, congrats. Like, these things are known for like taking people out.
I'm between one to three, depending on how much adrenaline I get.
The only constant threat of them are humans, because like we destroy habitats and stuff. If you actually look at natural predators, like they hunt crocodiles, but they also are prey to crocodiles. They can scare off lions. Lions are one of the only other predators. Leopards and hyenas are not commonly like attacking honey badgers
because they're scared.
Yeah, honey badgers will literally just take these people out. It's crazy.
You just don't want to mess with Tyrann Mathieu.
Oh, hell no.
Footy. Enough about the animals, footy.
And LSU.
We had a wild week. We had some crazy responses. We had some interesting results. We had some stunners. We had a
normal Tuesday. Normal Tuesday in Manchester.
Sunday, but yeah.
No, I mean Tuesday, because fucking
Tuesday.
We always lose by two to goddamn Crystal Palace.
Yeah. You want to start there? I know we wanted to go in order, but you want to just start with you being a sad boy?
Yeah, I think it's just a quick topic to touch upon. We always lose to Palace. I was expecting this. I was expecting a 2-1 loss, but guess what? We lost 2-0. It's what it is. And instead of Zaha doing it, it was
Zaha's
Mateta. Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. But yeah. So the curse lives on. We suck. Ooh, can we move on? We go with that.
That's all you got?
Oh yeah, bro. We suck. Like, are you kidding me?
You don't want to rant about your team like Chad usually does.
Like, I'm at the point where we're starting Kobe Mainoo as like a winger or a forward. Like, why?
Yeah. You don't want to talk about this anymore.
No.
I don't think so. We're gonna now go back into these matches a little bit more in order, but I don't think I've ever seen a club get battered 5-0 and then return in their next match and win 7-0. Because Forest, everybody last week, Forest was questioning, like, are they gonna sustain this? Like, was this hot start to the season just like a whatever? But now we're seeing Bournemouth are a legit side. I'll get into how they played against Liverpool in a second. But Forest 7-0?
Oh, they peaked this week. They were literally like, we hate the speculation that we aren't actually a legitimate top four side. Let's batter the living hell out of Brighton. And they did exactly that. Chris Wood is...
I was going to say, we got a Chris Wood hat trick. He's been like, brilliant. He's been brilliant.
This entire season, there's nothing to knock from that. I was about to say, he's not really entirely in the race for the Golden Boot, but he still is. Like, he's third.
Yeah.
He's still making an effort, but you do have the likes of Haaland and Salah in front of him. So unless he scores a lot more hat tricks, he's going to stay where he is.
Yeah. Well, especially because the clip that Salah is scoring on.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to stay on Forest real quick?
Yeah, I was just going to say Chris Wood has been spectacular this entire season beyond any expectations. If anyone said he was going to be this good this season, congrats to you, because you are a wizard, and thank you, Harry. We're moving on.
Just speaking of Mo Salah real quick, do you see his goal that he scored this weekend?
Bro, he's...
Did you see it?
No.
Dude, little touch inside, left-footed finish, curled it like into the back corner. Just beautiful.
Yeah, I did actually see it. I didn't want to talk about it, but yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah. That's the issue, though. Like, I hate talking about it now because Mo Salah is currently the best player in the Prem. And in terms of wingers in Premier League history,
I think he's the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, he is. I think he is currently, like, Mbappe is getting into better form, but there's so many options on that Real Madrid side that I wouldn't really give it to him. I think the only other player that I would give it to currently is Rafinha.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make some kind of post for Instagram one day this week about Ballon d'Or rankings, but it's basically, like, I don't even think I have a top five because it's like,
no, it's two.
It's Mo, Rafinha, and then like
a gap. And then you can say like
Mbappe, Vinny, and Jude.
Mbappe, Jude.
Yeah.
Like, but the three of them are interchangeable for whoever wants to pick whoever, though. Like, that's the way that the voting will work.
Right now for me, it's Mo.
Yeah.
Rafinha's not super close, but he's pretty close. And then it's everybody else.
Yeah, but speaking of Mo so highly, I don't want to knock this Bournemouth side that,
dude, they're outrageous.
They just play so well. They played really well against this Liverpool side too. Mo is just different right now. No one else on Liverpool were balling out. It was Mo. Mo on the counter was nuts.
Mo on the counter was nuts, but it wasn't just a Mo show. It really wasn't.
The defense was also balling.
But I cannot talk about, and I'm going to take a little bit of a tangent for myself here.
Gravenberch real quick. Yeah.
I cannot talk about Liverpool without talking about Ryan Gravenberch this season. He has been a revelation. I know I've talked about it in prior episodes of this podcast, but he has been a revelation under Arne Slot. I know Rodri's hurt. I know he's not playing right now, and he is the best CDM in the Prem when he's playing. But Gravenberch has been potentially the best CDM in the Premier League this season. He's been one of the breakthrough players of the season. It's incredible to see, and I know Mo was great, but Liverpool's midfield is incredible, and a lot of that has to do with how good Ryan Gravenberch is playing, and I just don't really think it's talked about enough.
I can agree with you. He's definitely creating highlight clips, and he's definitely just holding the midfield down. He's playing a very solid six role. I'm really impressed by it overall, because typically whenever I've thought of Gravenberch, it has been in a more attacking role, and he really took to the holding midfielding role perfectly, and
role.
Yeah, he's more of like when no, he this first is got
what
to
he
like
did.
Bayern.
This is what he did at Ajax. This is what.
But when he first got to Bayern, they implemented him as a cam. Bayern used him wrong.
Is my point.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've always thought of him as this, because this is what he is.
I think it's just crazy because of how box to box he is.
Yeah. He's got insane stamina. He's like a box-to-box CDM.
Yeah, it's just that he's not like that massive of a player, and he has like crazy skills. So that's why they were trying to deploy him.
He's just not like bulky.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they were trying to deploy him sort of as like an 8 or a 10 over at Bayern, and I wasn't really thriving entirely for him. But with this holding role, like the way that he can hold on to the ball and really create his own play and then get a perfect ball in deep, like it's surprising.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to mention one thing.
What?
The GOAT, Antony, made his Real Betis debut.
Man of the match.
He shot it directly at the keeper, but because it's Antony, he knew that the keeper wouldn't catch it and instantly assist his teammate. So, of course, assist.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And yeah. Because it's Antony, it counts as 3 assists. So he had, I think, 3 assists on the match. There we go.
Well, and he gets credit for the goal because he's Antony.
Damn, I forgot about that clause.
Yeah.
It's in the contract that Man U did.
Yeah, it was in the Man U contract, and it carries over on the loan. No, but so yeah. I don't understand. Like, the duality of the Premier League is insane because you have a club like Leicester City who beats Tottenham Hotspur last week and then gets crushed 4-0 to Everton.
All right, here's the thing. I'm not going to try to shit on Leicester entirely here, but Everton were on a hot streak, like, sort of. Like, they were past 2, like, heading into this week. I understand that Spurs just beat, or Leicester just beat Spurs 2-1, and it was, like, very dramatic. Vardy was, like, chatting, all that. But Vardy's old now. I think we keep on forgetting time and time again that, like, for him to put up consistent performances week in and week out is not something that you can rely on him for. And I don't think they should be, but they have to. The current state of this Leicester side is just, it's shambles. Like, they aren't good. And then when you look at this Everton side, I'm sorry. They, even though they haven't been placing that well in the rankings for years and years, bro, they're creating chance after chance after chance after chance. And it doesn't matter who they have at forward. They end up having random forwards. Like, they have Beto this year. They ended up having Braithwaite at one point. They had, oh my God, I'm having a stroke. Who's the English guy?
What?
Who's the English guy? The English striker for Everton.
Oh, Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin. Like, all these players, they all end up looking like prime Lukaku randomly. Like, one point throughout the season, they just ball out, and you're like, all right, this is what Everton needed. Because guess what? They aren't shy on creating chances. Like, I will keep on saying this. No matter what, it's not the offense that's a problem with Everton. Finishing, yes. But Pickford's really come into everything. Like, their defense can compete with the best of them, like, on a random day. It's the weirdest thing. On a random day, Everton is the scariest side in the world. The issue is that that doesn't happen except, like, 2 games in an entire Prem season. So it's just consistency with these guys. Like, they have a decent side. They have had a decent side. It's just, you never know what you're getting out of Everton. And guess what? This is what happens when they're on a hot streak. Like, they start heating up in, like, 2 wins. The third win, they end up clapping, like, whatever team it is. And then they're going to lose the next, like, 2 or 3.
They're a prime example of a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. They are. I don't want to knock them entirely right now, but, like, yeah, you hit the goal more often, and this would happen more often.
Yeah.
Like legit, you typically have more than 13 shots in a game, which is crazy for a prem side.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we need to go too big into detail, but Fulham beating Newcastle is a good win for Fulham, and Wolves beating Villa is absolutely huge for Wolves.
It's fucking crazy that actually happened.
It's crazy, but I don't really want to dive too deep into that. I want to get into the Arsenal City match.
Yeah, we already touched upon the garbage fest that Man U put.
But before we even get into anything with the match, and I'm gonna take my time on this one real quick. But this is a rivalry. This is real. This is real hatred between teams. And I'm gonna butcher this name because I like to and I think it's fun. I know that's Gabriel Magalhães, but Gabriel Magalhães screaming at Erling Haaland is just pure cinema. And Is it Miles Skelly? I'm just gonna pull up that name. It's Miles Lewis Skelly, I think, is his name.
I was about to say, I know him as Lewis Skelly.
Yeah, but it's Miles Lewis Skelly, and him doing the Haaland celebration after scoring, after last match when Haaland like pushed him away, kind of like in a "Who the hell are you?" Like, that's cold. That is cold.
Like, nah, this entire game, I hate to like Arsenal at times, but I really despise Man City. So, yeah. Hey, rock out. They were really stepping into a run of form. Don't get me wrong, they didn't have Ederson in goal, but
I don't think City were really stepping into a run of form.
I thought they were getting better.
I mean, like, kinda. They lost. Yeah,
it's not. It's not anything crazy.
I mean, they their last four or five matches, including the Arsenal match, they smashed Ipswich, which, like, duh. They lost to PSG. They beat Chelsea and they beat Club Brugge, and then they got killed by Arsenal.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like
I don't think that's a good run or getting into a good run of form.
Bro, for City, a good run of form can literally start with like two games. That's the craziest part about them. That's why I always say
not this current,
not this season. Yeah,
not this.
You are right. I'm a little too optimistic.
Yeah, but so City currently in their last couple matches, at least in the Premier League, have a problem with letting up the early goal. First Chelsea, mm-hmm. now Arsenal. They did not respond well to scoring the equalizer. Like, typically, you know, you've been down for most of the game. You're down since the second half starts. Mm-hmm. You score 10 minutes in. You're supposed to have all of the momentum. Yeah. And I think Thomas Partey scoring immediately after sucked the life out of Man City and just put forth the slaughter that came.
Yeah, I think they really dominated the midfield this game, and I think that's crazy to hear. Of course, Man City statistically will always end up running that possession up, no matter what. It doesn't matter the side, it doesn't matter what. They will always have the possession because that's Pep ball. But when you end up watching the way that this game played out, Partey, Odegaard, and Rice played fantastic. They held down the entire midfield. Skelly and Timber were cutting up the wings and actually playing really valuable balls in like the entire match. And I don't know, like, everything about this Arsenal side really seemed threatening, because when Kai Havertz presses the way that he was capable of doing, and everyone is on their shit, like, the only thing is, I'd rather have seen Saka. I wish he wasn't hurt, but it's what it is. Like, that would be ideal. Like, just seeing him in this side and a win like that.
It could have been 7 or 8 if Saka was there.
Exactly. Like, I truly think it would be 2 goals and an assist if Saka was playing. So it would have been a lot more fun to watch. I really hate City. So,
yeah.
But we get what we get.
This was the rare occasion where it would have been, I mean, I was rooting for a draw because I hate both these sides, but if somebody had to win, I would have liked it to be City just for the table.
Yeah, I know your reasoning behind it, but honestly, you would still probably like
Oh, I still love this result. I still love this result. Yeah. I hate City, but I want to move on to Chelsea. I didn't really want to dive deep into this game, but I do. I want to talk about Robert Sanchez not getting the start because he just hasn't been good. Straight up, he
fucking sucks.
But I really want to touch on the point that Chad brought up last week of kind of Enzo Maresca getting found out mid-season. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like this is... I mean, I know Chelsea won this match, but they got scored on...
But by what?
By one, and I mean, a win's a win. But it didn't look super convincing, and...
No, they won by an own goal. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I understand that even in the situation, like, yeah. It was going in. It's what it is. But, bro, come on. Like...
Yeah.
You have to rely on this in order to beat West Ham. Like, you're supposed to be a legitimate threat in the Prem, and you were playing like such earlier in the season, and now Enzo Fernandez, I wish he was playing the way that he was right after he ended up getting that divorce. Caicedo, I wish he was balling the same way. Like, those two midfielders are an amazing watch, but no one else on the side really did anything either. Cucurella's getting beaten left and right. Like,
yep.
I don't know. This defense, I know Reece James is healthy. Move on. Get someone that can be consistent and actually be in the side long enough for them to, like, acclimate. Like, you can't have someone who is in and out the way that he is. Cucurella, get rid of him. He's too old. He balled out in the Euros. I understand. Get rid of him.
I don't think he's that old. How old do you think
he's only 26, bro. What?
Yeah, dude, he's like 4 months older than me.
I just think you got rid of Cucurella then.
Maybe, like, I don't know.
He's in my opinion, a Jorginho signing. And he doesn't have the same penalty ability. But you have Cole Palmer for that. So just keep Cole Palmer and get rid of Cucurella. Get a better left back, get a consistent right back, get some fucking consistency within this goddamn side. Stop mixing up the roster every single match. Like, you need to build chemistry more among these players, and I understand that you have to throw different options at people in order to try to pull out wins.
I gotta jump in real quick. It's hard to build chemistry when... I mean, I know we're
so many injuries have been happening.
No, not even that. I mean, injuries, but we're deep enough into the season now that Enzo shouldn't be toying around as much. But yeah, they're on their second manager of
that's the issue. The manager, every single week they have a different lineup.
Yeah, but he's trying to figure out what his best lineup is. He's had so many injuries this season that he still hasn't been able to figure it out. Like, sometimes this is not like Pep toying around with the lineup every week. It's a relatively still new manager trying to find his best 11. Poch hadn't figured it out at this point. You know what I mean?
No, Poch started clicking around this point, though.
Not really.
Was it March?
Yeah. It was a little later.
Okay. So I'll give him a little more time.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the one thing about this Chelsea side that has been consistent throughout the entire season, the inconsistency. And I think that's a crazy thing to talk about, especially because, like, yeah, they've had so many injuries and everything. But tactically, they've altered themselves so much week in and week out that they're found out at this point because they're just pulling at scraps in order to try to pull out a win against West Ham.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
You had 22 shots and 3 on target. You should feel bad as top six side. I'm not a top six side anymore. Forest is more of a top six side than either of us. So fuck out of here.
There's a difference between the big six
and the top six. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Dude, I am so excited for this playoff format in the Champions League that's starting next week.
Bro, I'm also interested to see Everton versus you guys next week because Everton are at home. I think you're beating the dog shit out of them.
It's going to be a murder. I don't even want to talk about that. I want to talk Champions League.
Yeah, I'm with it.
So we got some really, really good matchups. They're not all of them are super exciting. I'm going to run down the list of all of them, and then I'll just say the three that are the most exciting to me. Carl and I are going to have the same number one. But we have Borussia and Atalanta, we have Sporting and Dortmund, Manchester City, Real Madrid, which, bro, that's just insane. We have
You're starting different than the order of the times that they're played.
I'm just going down the footmob bracket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going down the footmob bracket based on the draws. We have Celtic and Bayern. We have Feyenoord and Milan. We have what I think is going to be a fantastic matchup between Juve and PSV. We have PSG against Brest. And I know Carl likes Brest. And then we have...
Corny ass motherfucker.
I had to. I told Michael that PSG was playing the titties. And then I also think Benfica Monaco is going to be a great match.
That's what I thought you were actually going to mention. Like that match, in my opinion, is going to be amazing.
So my big three that I'm looking out for are Benfica Monaco, Juve, PSV, and obviously City and Madrid.
City and Real, number one. Juve have been surprising throughout this entire season. They're one of the teams that I don't know if they're beaten in league play yet. Like, they are actually a pretty decent side despite having a lot of issues. Sporting, on the other hand.
So they do have one loss in league play. It is to Napoli. But they have 9 wins, 13 draws, and one loss. They're not scoring. They're not...
Yeah. Like, it's a draw city. Like that's what's happening with Juve right now. And I think like them against PSV, they would probably end up PSV with a draw. And then a draw. And then penalties. And Italians, I think, went on penalties.
Yeah. You want to go down?
That's where I'm at with that. I want to shout out the Sporting Dortmund match. I really think that's going to be a good match. I think Sporting's going to sort of clap back just for the Champions League because they're sort of crapping the bed in terms of league play. And then very similar to Brian, I'm taking Monaco, Benfica, and Man City, Real Madrid.
Okay.
Those three matches. And you want to... So...
I'm not talking
I have a different order than you.
Just pull up Footmob and click on the knockout.
Fuck you. Pull up UEFA.
Okay. I'm just going to run down this pretty quick. But I got Atalanta over Bruges. I got Dortmund over Sporting. I have Madrid over, especially with this current rendition of City. I got Bayern over Celtic. I have Madrid over Feyenoord. I'm taking PSV over Juve. I am taking PSG over Brest. And I think I'm going to go Benfica over Monaco.
Yes. All right. Me, Atalanta. I'm going to take Sporting just for shits.
Okay.
I don't think it matters in the next round. I think they're out. I'm going to take Real. I think Man City's just been disappointing. Bayern. I'm going to take Milan. I think PSV upset Juve. Like, genuinely,
It's not the upset. PSV is the higher seed.
Yeah, like, but just in terms of history. Like, that's it becomes fair. That situation. Mm-hmm. PSG. I don't think they botch it. Their new signings have been balling. They actually look pretty good. And Benfica.
Okay. Okay.
I think the clubs to watch right now, PSG heading into the next round, I really think they're going to be a threatening side.
So the problem with that is it strictly depends on who they get if they get through.
Yeah, exactly. But I think no one wants to play them. I think I
agree, but I think they match up really, really, really well to Barcelona.
Yeah.
And I think Liverpool match up really well to them.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think if they breast and they get Liverpool instead of Barcelona in the next round, I don't, and I'm not, I know everybody, like, I support Liverpool. It's been a long time I've been a fan, but I'm not saying this as a Liverpool fan. I'm saying this as an objective footy fan. I just don't think it's a good matchup for PSG.
I don't think PSG versus Liverpool is a good matchup, but I think PSG versus Barca could be good for them, like you're saying. Like, just because, like, Kvaratskhelia and Usman, Dembele, like, they could do a lot. But the thing is that against Liverpool, they would be able to shut them down on the inside a lot more than Barcelona would be able to, and just overall make the attack look a lot less threatening and dominate the midfield a little better. I think Barca would definitely end up winning against PSG overall, but it's just tactically they're 1-1, so it becomes a difficult situation to really say.
Yeah.
That's why PSG is like that. But Benfica too, like, bro, Di Maria, you never know.
You never know.
Nah, maybe you do know. He is a little older.
Yeah. What the fuck happened in the NBA this week?
For those who don't know, Luka is an LA Laker. And as our friend Sam says, I'm not going to say that. Never mind.
Love that you just caught yourself, because I was going to tell you not to.
I was about to be like, oh yeah, the LA. No.
And it, by the way, we just need to clarify, it's nothing that's like really bad. It's just.
No, it's just like, it's the LA breasts, but the other word for that.
I mean, I already said it earlier in the episode.
Yeah, the LA tits. It's stupid.
Yeah. But dude, I went to bed right before the news broke, and I woke up in the morning and I had to like triple take at my phone. Like, the Dallas Mavericks traded Luka Doncic for like a dollar menu hamburger, not even a cheeseburger, like a little kid's fry, not even a small fry, and like an ice cube.
You know what the Lakers just ended up pulling?
What?
The same deal that the Celtics got when they traded away Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to the Brooklyn Nets and literally got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as return because they were the draft picks that got them.
Yeah, that
you get a championship because of that. Bro,
I know,
they got back to back number three picks. Like, I know. That's what I mean, bro.
That's different. But the Nets gave up too many draft picks. They did not give up their 25-year-old franchise player. That's the difference in the deal for me.
But yeah, you could have gotten a fucking like franchise player with that. That's what I mean. Like, they got two potential franchise players for that shit.
You good?
Connor's just blackout.
Roommate problems. We can get out of here pretty quick if Carl's having some apartment issues. But thank you guys for tuning in to this week of the High Kicks podcast. Hopefully we have Chad back next week. But we will catch you guys. Adios.
Peace. Much love. Peace. Use a bitch, bruh.